Last week, I was watching one of the local news programs in Nashville, and they were doing a story on a particular church that had gathered together, and they were coming together for a prayer service and a vigil for recent teenage shootings in Nashville and crime that had gone on and various young people that had been shot and killed. And they were very bothered by that, as we all should be concerned about that. And they wanted to gather together and pray about that and see what they could do to solve that problem. And one comment that I noticed that got me to thinking about this morning's lesson is that they said that we have gathered together here this evening and we're waiting to hear from God what He would have us to do about this matter. We want God to tell us what to do about this matter. And it makes me think about how that many religious people, obviously we want God to talk to us, but they're misguided and misled with regard to how God speaks to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 again in our scripture reading, that there was a time, verse 1, where God spoke in various ways in the Old Testament. He may have sent an angel. He may have spoken directly to Moses on the mount. He used a donkey with regard to Balaam, and just different ways in which God spoke in the Old Testament times. But at the end of these days, that's the days when Jesus came and up until the present time, He speaks to us through His Son. Through His Son. And so while we appreciate the desire to pray for crime and violence, and we certainly need to do that, we need to do that ourselves. But we're not waiting for God to tell us what to do about that. We already have that message through His Son. And so what religious people think, and they've been doing this for many years, the idea is not old. It goes back over 100 years that sometimes God speaks to me in voices. Sometimes God speaks to me by giving me a sign. Sometimes God speaks to me by giving me a revelation. And He might, like Joseph Smith claimed, that God gave him a message through ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics and things such as that. And so for many, many years, religious people believe that God speaks to them in some way other than the Bible. And most often it is the idea of just voices or a voice that I hear or something that I hear in my heart. And so this morning we want to consider this idea, and God speaks to us through His Son. It's interesting that when you have religious discussions with individuals today, it's rare that they will just simply let the Bible speak. Just let the Bible speak. Just the words, the black and white, you know, Bible. The pages of our Bible, those black words on a white page. It's rare that somebody will just let that be the only thing that is spoken. There's always got to be something else. It's amazing today. And when you just want to, well, let's just read the verse. Well, yes, but something else. It's very rare today that somebody would just simply let the Bible speak. We've had a Bible class this morning, and all we did was just let the Bible speak. We just read the verse. We talk about the verse. There's nothing else. In the religious world as a whole, that would be very rare. Let the Bible speak. I believe many people in the religious world, they want a message from God. There's no question about that. We want to hear from God. And God has spoken. He's spoken. We want to hear from God. God speaks. He's not silent. He speaks from heaven. That's very clear. And we want to hear what He says. But how is that being done? That's the question. By what means is He using? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, He speaks through Jesus Christ. Also turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. And when Jesus speaks, it was recorded in the Bible. And so when we want Jesus to speak, when we want God to speak through Jesus, we just simply open up our New Testament Bible. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, Peter is speaking about Jesus. Moses indeed said, "A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, likened unto me. To him shall you hearken in all things, whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken unto that prophet," Moses in the book of Deuteronomy there, Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses was prophesying of that prophet would be Jesus. And Peter says that it is Jesus. Verse 24, 25, 26. It's applied to Jesus. But look at verse 23. Every soul that shall not hearken unto that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Whatever he shall speak, verse 22. God speaks to us through His Son. And then, Jesus said that His apostles would speak His words. And so the New Testament is Jesus speaking and His apostles. One example is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul said, "But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained." Look at verse 12. "We receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things which were freely given to us of God, which things we speak." Paul was speaking what God told him to speak. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. And so we want a message from God. We want to hear from God. And God has indeed spoken through Jesus and through the apostles of Jesus. And that was recorded in the Bible. Can we just simply let the Bible speak? Whenever we want to know what God wants for us today, can we just simply let the Bible speak? Can we sit down and have a religious discussion and the only thing that is used is the Bible between us? Can we do that? Often that is hard to do today because people are so ingrained that there's got to be something else. We got to have something else. We got to hear something else. When in fact, it is just simply the Bible. And I've studied with individuals, and they're taken back that, well, all you want to use is the Bible? In fact, I've even had Bible studies canceled, and Eric remembers this one time. We were talking with one of his Jehovah's Witness friends and out at his house, and we said, "We would like to study next week. Will you study?" And he said, "Sure, I'd like to study with you." And knowing the Jehovah's Witness position, that they have to have other things other than the Bible, I said, "Sir, when we come back next week, could we just use the Bible and nothing else? No Watchtower publications or no other things like that." And he said, "No." He said, "No." "No," he said, "it'll be the Bible and I'll have some other things that I need to read from." What you see, we can't just let the Bible speak. He said, "No, I can't agree to just simply have the Bible." And so that study never did come about. And so that happens all the time, more than you would realize, that we just can't just let the Bible speak. This morning, I want us to consider why it is that we just can't let the Bible speak for itself. Why is it that we can't just sit down with a Bible between us? Well, first of all, often many people are ruled by human tradition. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. We cannot let the Bible speak when we are listening to human tradition, the way that we've always heard it taught, or the way my parents did it, or the way my grandparents did it, or that type of thing. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 15 that there were some Jews there that were told that they didn't have to take care of their parents? They didn't have to honor their mother and father. They didn't have to honor them. They didn't have to take care of them. Even though one of the Ten Commandments said, "Honor your father and mother," they didn't do that. Why? Because what had come along in the meantime was Jewish tradition, Pharisee tradition. And they had a tradition where if you said something, you didn't have to take care of your parents. Well, that tradition had gotten in the way of just letting the Bible speak. Just let the Ten Commandments speak. Honor your father and mother. No, it's been clouded now, and it's been muffled, and it's been covered over with human tradition. And that commandment, honor your father, it can't just get out there. It's all been covered up with what? A tradition. So Matthew 15:3, Jesus answered and said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God said," let the Bible speak, just let it speak. "God said, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But you say," well see, that would have just been God speaking, just let it get, but no, we can't have that. Verse 5, it's been covered over now with a tradition. We can't hear God anymore. And that's what happens. When you don't let the Bible speak, then you really don't hear God. What you're hearing is man, but you're not hearing God. So verse 5, you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, that wherewith you might have been profited by me is given to God, he shall not honor his father. You have a tradition that if you just say that, then you don't have to take care of your parents. Just say it. Well, mom and dad, I've given it to God. In Mark's account, Mark 7 says the word was Corban. If you just say Corban, then you don't have to give it to your parents and help them out. Then look at the very next verse. Verse 6. You have made void the word of God because of your tradition. Religious traditions, and our Catholic friends especially, are prone to this. In fact, they say there are two prongs of authority in the Catholic Church. The Bible and the church tradition. Church traditions. And they're both equal in authority. And so whether it is oral, something that is just said, or whether it is written down, we call that a creed. The English word creed comes from the Latin word credo, meaning I believe. You write down beliefs of a particular religion. And so we have many creeds and confessions. And many people don't realize this, that in many religions today, the Baptist, the Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, Catholics, they all have creeds and confessions that lie in the background that govern those bodies. One's called the Westminster Confession of Faith. Our Baptist friends go by the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's a human document. Well, when you're sitting in an auditorium listening to a sermon, the pastor doesn't stand up, the reverend, the minister, he doesn't stand up and say, now everybody open to your Westminster Confession of Faith. They don't do that. They deliver a sermon and they have Bible, but in the background, their theology that's governing all of that is a creed or a confession. And our Catholic friends and our Lutheran friends go by catechisms, which literally means that which is written down. And so what you're doing is you're not just hearing God anymore. It's all been covered up. Look at that. Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Verse 3. Verse 4. God said, that was one of the Ten Commandments, just let the Bible speak. Just let God speak. No, it's been covered up, verse 5, by what you have said. What you have said has covered it up, and we just can't hear God anymore. So human tradition. Turn with me to one other example, Colossians chapter 2. And we have that all over. There's all kinds of religious traditions. And I've talked with individuals before and asked them why they do things. And they say, well, I don't know. I guess it's because that's just the way we've always done it. And that's right. Just a tradition that is not from the Word of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Take heed, lest there shall be any one that maketh spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We're just not going to listen to what Christ says. We're going to listen to a tradition. And the founder of our church has this tradition. And this is what we do. Well, why do you wear robes? And why do you burn incense? And why do you pray to Mary? And why do you have candles? And why do you have incense? And why do you have instrumental music? And why do you have a little thing that's got smoke in it? And you're waving it back and forth. And we just go on and on and on. Well, it's a tradition. Why do you have this doctrine called purgatory, where it's not heaven and it's not hell, it's just somewhere in between? Why do you have a doctrine where Mary is deified and we pray through Mary? Why? Well, church tradition. Is any of it in the Bible? No, but it's tradition. And just on and on and on. Why do you sprinkle babies? Why do you pour a little water on somebody? Well, that's the way we've done it in our church tradition. Is it in the Bible? No. Well, the Bible says that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he immersed him. The Greek word is immerse. Well, we don't hear that anymore because all we hear is tradition. Let the Bible speak. Just let God's word speak. That's what we appeal to. Number two. You know, we cannot let the Bible speak when we're listening to so-called latter-day revelations. our Catholic friends and our Lutheran friends especially go by church tradition. But our Muslim friends and our Mormon friends, they go by Latter-day Revelations. In about 630 A.D., Muhammad said God spoke to him. 630 A.D. God spoke to me, and I've recorded it in this book called the Quran. And in about 1850 or so, Joseph Smith said, well, this angel Moroni was sent to me, and God spoke to me, and I wrote it down in this book called the Book of Mormon, and just on and on and on. We cannot let the Bible speak when these other books are speaking. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Many people do not let the Bible speak because they're so used to their Latter-day Revelations. And that's why our Jehovah's Witness friend with Eric and I, that's why he didn't want to study. Because they believe that Mr. Rutherford in the late 1800s got revelations from God. And that eventually ended up becoming the Watchtower Society up in Brooklyn. And so God speaks through the Watchtower Society, and these are Latter-day Revelations. Well, Mary Baker Eddy, she got her revelations to start the Christian Science Church. And Rutherford got his revelations, and Joseph Smith got his revelations, and they're all contradictory. Who are we supposed to believe? All these extra books. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. We just need to let the Bible speak, period. And if anybody else is trying to speak, we need to ignore that. I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ. That's who we need to be listening to. Unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, that is another of the same kind. Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what we need to be hearing today, the gospel of Christ. But though we, look at this, this is even, Paul even includes himself. But though we, me, Paul, and the other apostles, but though we or an angel from heaven, Joseph Smith, are you listening? He said an angel called Moroni came and gave me a message. Though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached, it has to be the one preached by the apostles in the first century. We preached. Paul didn't live after the first century. What we preached, Paul said, you can't listen to anything else. Well, what about 630 AD over in the Middle East and Muhammad and the Quran? No, that's something else, you see. Anything other, any gospel, any, not just some, but any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, that's strong language. He didn't say, now, you know, be nice to them, and it's okay if they want to do this, and you know they're a little misguided. No, you're going to be accursed for doing that, and you're going to be accursed for following that. And so we cannot let the Bible speak when we're listening to so-called Latter-day Revelations. We cannot let the Bible speak when, if we were to read a verse and then twist it to fit what we want. And twist it to make it say what we want. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. There's some religious groups, they don't have Latter-day Revelations, and that's a good thing. And they don't really go on human traditions from the church, and that's a good thing. But you know what? They'll open up their Bible and they'll read their Bible, and then they'll twist it to make it say what they want. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Some read that, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, because you already have remission of sins. Well, that's not what the verse says. Now, we haven't appealed to Latter-day Revelation or traditions. We've just read it and twisted it to fit our church theology. And if I have a church theology that says you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved, you're saved by faith alone when you pray to have Jesus Christ be your personal Savior, and you're saved at that point, and you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved, then you're going to have to reread that verse. And so they do. Repent and be baptized because you already have forgiveness of sins. And we could just illustrate that over and over and over again. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Some read that. We reckon, therefore, that a man is justified by faith only apart from the works of the law. No, wait a minute. You can't just throw that word only in there. You can't just read that and just twist it a little bit and throw something in there and then move on. You can't do that. But that's what is often done. In fact, there is a version of the Bible out there that on Romans 3:28, it says we are justified by faith only. They just put it in there. You can't do that. We can't let the Bible speak when we read a verse but then twist it a little bit to make it say what we want it to say. And scripture twisting is done all day long by preachers and so-called scholars and Bible class teachers and on and on and on. I can be guilty of that. I have to be very careful. Larry can be guilty of that. Any person standing up, reading a verse, and then just sort of rereading it in another little way. Mm-mm. No, we're not letting the Bible speak anymore. We're twisting it to fit what we want. So, 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. When I speak, I have to speak as if God is speaking. I cannot change that. I cannot alter that. So turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. There are people who do that. And Peter says it's two kind of people. It's ignorant people who do it. It's easy to twist a verse when you don't know all of the Bible truth. That's why when men stand up and preach, that they need to study and they need to work hard at that and make sure that they are clearly understanding their message. When I went to visit recently my father and then had that gospel meeting, I was with my niece's husband who preaches in Lufkin, and he's more of the age of the 30-something group, and he's hearing more and more from his friends and in the social media and stuff like that, where guys are getting into preaching because it's an easy thing to do. It's an easy way to get some money. And they're not schooled, they're not educated, they're not studying their Bibles, but they know that you can quickly get up in a pulpit with a Bible and get a sermon outline off the internet, and you get paid to do that. And he's hearing more and more of individuals who are doing that. But what's happening is they're reading passages and texts and they're twisting it and distorting it. They don't understand what they're doing. And they're misleading people and they're not teaching Bible truth. So look at the first one. He says, where the ignorant and unsteadfast twist the scriptures. Some people are ignorant, and that's why they twist it. They're unknowledgeable. They're unlearned. I can get into preaching real quick. That's an easy gig. That was the term he used. Among some that he's hearing about, these guys are saying, well, that's an easy gig. No, it's not. No, it's not. We have to study hard and spend time with the text. Otherwise, you're going to twist it if you're ignorant of what you're talking about. And number two, look at it, the unsteadfast. They will not be steadfast with the truth, Bible, plain Bible truth. They're not going to be steadfast with that. And so they twist it to fit their church theology. And we couldn't even begin to look at all of the examples of that that goes on today. I've just mentioned a couple of them, faith only, and you're baptized because you already have forgiveness of sins. No, that's not what the text says. Can we just let the Bible speak? Well, not if we're scripture twisting, and not if we're engaged in modernism. Modernism was a term that was used in the mid-1800s, mid to late 1800s, to describe not just something that's modern, but something that where we appeal to science. And the Bible was put through the lens or the grinder of science, and what popped out on the other end was that it's just a man-made book. And so in the mid-1800s to late 1800s, even people in religious schools and certain theologians in certain churches would not consider the Bible as the actual Word of God, but more like the fallible word of man. Paul says that every scripture is inspired, God-breathed. Look at 2 Peter 1:20. 2 Peter 1:20. Scripture, no prophecy of scripture is of private interpretation. Scripture does not come from man. It comes from being moved by the Holy Spirit, verse 21. But modernism, or also known as liberalism, it does not accept what the Bible says is true. It does not accept Bible miracles. It does not accept that the Bible inspiration, that Bible is actually God's literal very words. They say the Bible is a combination of some facts and some fiction. And what it does is it robs the Bible of its power. We cannot just simply let the Bible speak because, well, that's not really God speaking. And the reason they took that approach is they didn't like what God spoke. That's why. We don't like what the Bible says, and so we just turn it into a book of man and dismiss it that way, and then we can go on our merry way. No, modernism did not come about because people actually found that the Bible was the product of man. No, what happened was they're reading their Bibles. The Bibles want to change their life, and they don't want their life changed. So they found a sophisticated way to dismiss the Bible. And you know what? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. The Sadducees of Jesus' day would be like the modernists of our day. The Sadducees were very liberal. Do you know that they only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament? They wouldn't accept the rest of the Old Testament. That would be a very liberal position. And number two, when the Bible spoke about the resurrection or living on after this life, they just rejected that. Well, no, that's not in the Bible. And so when they asked Jesus about, is there a resurrection, look at what he said in Matthew 22:29. You do err not knowing the Scriptures. And he picked a Scripture from one of the books that they accepted, Exodus. They accepted the first five books of the Old Testament. So he picked a book that they accepted to prove them wrong. But he said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. We rob the Bible of truth. We rob it of its power when we say, well, no, the Bible doesn't say that. There are no miracles. There is no inspiration. We're robbing the Bible of the power of God's Word. And the Sadducees were like that. So we can't let the Bible speak when we just say, well, it's the product of man. We cannot let the Bible speak when we're listening to ourselves and what we want to hear. And this may be true of us. We don't appeal to any latter-day revelations. We don't have church tradition. We're not engaged in any kind of modernism. It's interesting, all of the schools, the major schools that were started in this country, were started to train preachers. When the Pilgrims and others came over to the New World, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Vanderbilt, all of those were started to train ministers in the preaching of God's Word. And about 100 years went by when they were all just doing the same thing. Just, this is the Bible, this is God's Word, training men to preach. But about the mid-1800s, all of those institutions changed due to the rise of modernism. And so all of those institutions now, they still have a Bible department, but they teach the Bible as the Word of man. It's not the very Word of God. Now, we may not be engaged in that kind of thing, but what about this one? We listen to ourselves rather than just letting the Bible speak. I think and I feel and all these, you know, I wouldn't trade what I have in my heart for a whole stack of Bibles. You know, what I think and what I feel. You know, many are just simply listening to themselves. They're doing what they want to do. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Let's look at a few examples of this. Do you remember when Peter, James and John went with Jesus up on the top of the mountain in the Mount of Transfiguration? And Peter is wanting to build three booths there, one for Moses, one for you, one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud, verse 5, overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Peter, be quiet. Listen to Jesus. And that's the problem of many. And I have this happen over and over again. I've had Jehovah's Witness come to the door out there in Cedar Hill. They come around about once a month or once every other month. I am not exaggerating. The moment they step out of the car, they're talking. I've got a track for you and this. And they witness. And then the moment they get done, well, we got to go. Well, wait a minute. I haven't had a chance to talk with the Bible with you. No, we're going to talk, but I'm not going to listen. And there are people who, and we do this in conversation, don't we? Have you ever done this? You're having a conversation with someone, and when they're talking, you're not really listening to them. What are you doing? You're preparing your answer. You're working on what you want to say, and you're not really even listening to what they're saying. You're thinking in your mind, well, what am I going to say next? Many people just don't listen, and many just don't listen to the Bible, to what Jesus says. Hear ye Him. Turn with what we studied this morning in Matthew chapter 13, that many will close their ears. Matthew 13, verse 15. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. They will not hear with their ears. You see, I just don't want to listen to it. Do you remember in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58 when Stephen was preaching the truth there in Jerusalem? They stopped their ears. I don't want to hear it. We can't let the Bible speak when we're talking, number one. Number two, we can't let the Bible speak when we close our ears and we don't want to hear it. And then turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We can't let the Bible speak when all we ask for is someone to speak in such a way that will tickle our ears and tell us what we want to hear. And some people are like that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust and turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. Teacher, preacher, preach it the way I want to hear it. I'm in an unscriptural marriage. Would you explain it to me in such a way that I can stay in that unscriptural marriage or whatever it is? I've been raised this way. I've been taught this way. And I'm going to seek out a church that preaches it the way I want to hear it. Well, that's just heaping up teachers after their own lust instead of just hearing. Look at verse 2. Instead of just preaching the word, I want to hear the word preached. No, verse 3 and 4, I want to heap up teachers that will say it the way I want to hear it. You know, others follow their conscience or their personal experiences or their feelings. This happens over and over and over again. You'll sit down and try to study with someone. A Bible will be open and they'll say, well, I hear what you're saying. First of all, it's not what I'm saying. It's what God is saying. I hear what you're saying there, but I feel. Well, we can't let the Bible speak when it's clouded by our feelings. Do you remember 2 Kings 5:11? Do you remember Naaman? When the prophet came out and said, dip 7 times in the Jordan to be healed of your leprosy, he said, behold, I thought he would come out and wave his hand over me. Well, we got feelings and what we think and what we feel, but it's not right. Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that is in man that he thinks is right, but the end of that is the way of death. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Do you remember Saul before he was converted? Acts 26:9. Behold, I thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Well, you thought wrong, Paul. And so what we think and what we feel. Paul talks about a seared conscience in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Paul talks about a defiled conscience, Titus 1:15. Just because we think it or feel it or this is the way we want it to be doesn't mean that it's God's word. And other people follow personal testimonies. Someone comes up to them and says such and such, and they go with it. You remember our lesson recently about the young man who was told, don't go back the same way and don't eat anything? And this old prophet comes up, hey, come home. Okay. But the text says he lied. Someone can stand up and give their testimonial. They can say that they got it from God and all this kind of thing, but it was directly contradictory to what the truth was. And the text says he lied. It's a lie. And so we just simply need to open up our Bibles. Let's look at one last example and then the lesson is yours. You know, different people just simply cannot let the Bible speak. And sometimes they attempt to silence the message. They don't like what the message is. Some will just outright try to get rid of the message. Do you remember in Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 23, when Jeremiah was trying to preach to Jehoiakim there? Turn to Jeremiah 36, 23. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves or columns of Scripture, what had been revealed from God, that the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the brazier until all the roll was consumed. Yeah, that's one way where you don't have to listen to God's word. You just cut it up and burn it. But then the rest of the chapter is how that God tells Jeremiah, write the same thing, and he wrote it back. You're not going to get rid of God's word. And we've had God's word, in the case of the Old Testament, thousands of years. In the case of the New Testament, some 2,000 years. You're not going to get rid of it. Or some try to silence the messenger, so they just stone Stephen. Well, that's how we'll solve this. We'll just get rid of the messenger. Well, no. What happened? The very next verse says that the brethren were scattered upon the death of Stephen, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Well, that backfired. That didn't work. Wow. Tried to get rid of this gospel message by killing this man, and many more people take it other places. And so that's how the church gets started in Samaria and other places. No, you're not going to be able to get rid of God's word ultimately. But it sort of soothes and salves people's conscience. Well, maybe I can burn the message or get rid of the messenger. We're not letting God's word speak when we attempt to do that. So let's just let the Bible speak. You know, I believe that many people, if not most people in America, although that it could be changing, at least years ago, maybe most people had Bibles in their homes. I don't know about today. But they don't let the Bible speak because of human traditions and latter-day revelations and scripture twisting and modernism, and we get ourselves in the way, what I think and what I feel. And the Bible is often silenced. Sometimes people just outright veto it. Well, I know what the verse says, but no, we're going to do something else. We'll set it aside. And so as we close, you know what a good test is for us? Each and every time our Bible is open, do we read what it says and then say, yes, but... or do we just let it speak and do what it says? And this morning, we want to just simply be content to let the Bible speak. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. We have to be ready for that judgment day that is coming. We're going to sing about that coming judgment day. And the way that we get ready is just simply let the Bible speak and bring our lives into conformity with what the Bible says. We can't let it speak when we let all these other things get in the way. But if we're willing to set aside these man-made things and just simply let the scripture text speak and do what it says and bring our lives into conformity to that, then we know that we're right with God and we're ready for that judgment day. If we can assist you in making that change in your life, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?